Good afternoon, those people who listen to this podcast. This is your friend Dan, and it is December the 8th, 2019, sometime around 1 p.m., as if I give a fuck. Yeah, it's a Sunday. It's a Sunday afternoon. And for this podcast of the Little Saigon Report, I'm going to do it kind of unscripted because I just don't give a fuck. I thought that maybe it would be fun to go on our own mental journeys, our own mental bullshit. I have a friend out there who's listening to me. And he has a job. He is a law enforcement officer in St. Louis. And I'd like to tell my friend that despite the fact that I'm a dirty, nasty anarchist, and despite the fact that I do criticize the cops, I care about you. I hope you're safe. These are tough times. People are crazy. Is it panic in the year zero? I don't know. You need to answer that for yourself, folks. I do not know if it's panic in the year zero. If it were panic in the year zero, that would be crazy. But be safe out there. You know, I'm an anarchist, but do I believe in a free world? There would be a job for somebody to be a kind of, call it the community diplomat, in theory. But it would be voluntary. And in my opinion, in a free world, my friend would have a job doing whatever he wants to do. And making a living and doing well at it and succeeding in a free world. No, life would not be perfect, and if you think there isn't a hangover from 100 years of bullshit, folks, I don't know. A lot of you guys think that we're going to use the fucking cryptocurrency to hyperspace our way to a future of perfection. Yeah, that's not... Even if cryptocurrency were everything that the cryptocurrency crazies say it is not a magic bullet we do not make up for 10,000 years. Of economic production brought forward. We pooped in a toilet. We had a toilet for 3 people, and we had a party for 50. And now we're upset the toilet's all plugged up, and the kitchen smells, and we want to make chili. You know, the chili is going to be gross, people. Yeah, the chili is going to be gross, okay? I know some of you want to believe that you're going to buy Bitcoin and you're going to get in your fucking car with your beautiful family Yeah, and there'll be no crazies on the road, and they're looking for silver and gold, folks. They're not gonna fucking deal with you for Bitcoin. I hate to break it to you, but the demographic that does the raping and the killing and the apocalypse, they're not even gonna know how to fucking use Bitcoin. Did anybody fucking tell you that? Yeah, and again, it doesn't have to be the apocalypse. I'm just about crazy times. Like the collapse of the Soviet Union. I told you this would be a journey and no topics, no outline. No outline on this journey. This is a random walk. A random walk through the hyperspace of my broken soul with the use of this Roland keyboard. Shout out to Roland. They know how to make a fucking keyboard. Even a douchebag like me can sound like something less than total crap. Yamaha's not so bad. And to my friend out there in podcast SoundCloud listening land who told me I need to get my binks and my bong straight, believe me, dude, I'm working on it, but I'm an old man, and it's possible that I won't get my binks and my bong straight, assuming I even know what the fuck they are. I don't know if I know what they are. I don't know. I know I need to learn more. I know I need to have enough faith in the future to give a shit about learning. You know, the thing about learning after 50, the math is pretty simple. I mean, what do you think you're going to get from it? And I know there are people out there say, "Oh, you should be a starving artist. You should be Bukowski." Believe me, Bukowski wanted to have money to buy beer. If you think Bukowski didn't need cash to buy beer, he did. He needed cash to buy beer. I, technically, according to my budget today, could only afford a 32-ounce bottle of Miller High Life. When you think about it, that's about as much alcohol as any person should have a day. But I'm not your typical human. Anyways, I don't know what to say, folks. I just saying to my friend in St. Louis, if you're out there listening to me exercising, pumping iron, getting pumped up like Al Pacino in Cruising, yeah, you know what I mean. Watch the trailer for that, my friend. Al Pacino in Cruising, go undercover, buddy, in St. Louis. Show me. Yeah, show me. Anywho, folks, to all of you out there, I'm an anarchist, but we're on Pirate Ship America. Who the fuck am I to judge? I know I'm a shitty Christian, and my greatest sin is judgment. It's one of the reasons why I haven't been able to go to church in a few weeks. Because I see a lot of people these days, and I see Ninevites. And it's like God says, you know, Dan, why don't you just chat with the Ninevites and and try to explain to them that they're, you know, they're stupid, murderous bullshit and satanic crap goes nowhere. And I just say, God, you know what? You gave me that free will, you fuck. That's right. Yeah, I swear, I curse at God. Which I think from Jesus' perspective is way better than being an atheist. And also, it fits into that whole hot or cold, no lukewarmy thing. But I totally get Jonah. I think Jonah thought the Ninevites were douchebags. I kind of think most people in Seattle are douchebags, maybe including me. I'm going to be fair about it. And like Jonah, if God said, you know, why don't you have a conversation with the people of Seattle to help them or something, it's like, I can't help these people. There's nothing to help. They believe in a false God. They exhibit all the signs of total faith to a glowing little rectangle they hold in their fucking hands. They exhibit total faith to a lease agreement with a bank. They exhibit total faith to the belief that their house will appreciate in value 6 or 7 or 10% every year on year, and that doesn't seem like cancer to them. And then they wonder, where did all these homeless people come from? Hey, Merle, why do we got all these homeless? Well, I don't know, buddy, but let me tell you about my shack out back. It's approximately 150 square feet. It's got a mini submarine toilet system. I'm gonna sell it for 500K. But why are all these homeless people walking around? Where'd all these homeless people come from, Merv? And God would love me to say, hello, Ninevites, and you're so awesome, and you're all okay. And the truth is, the last couple months, and this is not Christian. If you're a Christian listening to me, you need to understand. Getting drunk every day and high every day and listening to Pink Floyd and wanting to watch the Ninevites catch fire, these are not Christian virtues. So we can be fucking clear about this. I am not selling Christianity right now. Even though I'm not technically an atheist and I don't work for the other guy, that guy's an idiot. But no, I'm kind of like Jonah. You can give me all the fucking explanations about the magical plant covering my head and how there's so many oxen and fucking kids and bullshit in Nineveh. And if I cared so much about the covering on my fucking head, why wouldn't I care about the people of Nineveh? And I would say, you know what, God? You gave me free will. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, so it's possible to be a person of faith and to not be in a good place with God. Yeah, it turns out that's not only normal, it probably happens throughout a Christian's life, throughout any person of faith's life. You're in the faith, but you're not too happy about it. And right now, if you ask me, could I make a good argument? Could I be like Abraham at Sodom and say, Lord, if I can find a dozen people in Seattle, just 12, you know, just a couple. Come on, it's the book of Genesis, God. Come on, it's the time of miracles. I might be able to find a dozen people in Seattle that don't totally suck. Oh, I can't use family members, okay. Well, I can come up with five. Yeah. And the thing is, this is me judging. This is why I'm saying I'm not in a Christian place right now. Clearly not Christian. Clearly not in the right kind of place as far as God goes. These are tough times, folks. And they're not necessarily materialistically tough for everybody. You know, I've talked about the stranded skier before. And I'll talk about it again because it's a good analogy for not just the US economy, but the world economy right now. And it may have always been the case, although I don't think it's true. I think that it's not really always been the case. I think we live in a particularly interesting time with respect to the stranded skier. Imagine you're a downhill skier. Oh, I'm going down the ski slopes and I just got off. I'm at Stevens Pass. Oh, I'm on the really tough trail. Oh, and I'm going by the moguls. I'm downhill skiing. Oh, all the supermodels at the fucking chalet are gonna think I'm so fucking sexy. Oh, look at, there's a trail off to the side. I'm gonna go take the side trail. And you take the side trail, and a Douglas fir limb hits you in the head, and you get knocked end over end, toppling through space like the thigh bone in 2001 A Space Odyssey. That becomes a satellite. That's right. Yeah, and then you're unconscious in the snow, and it's about 5 p.m., and it's the Pacific Northwest in December. Assuming there's snow up there, I think right now there isn't any. But imagine it's 1986 and there's snow. And you're in the snow and it's 2 feet deep. And the sun is almost down, so it's kind of dark out. Nobody's up there. Nobody knows where you are. You went up there as a single guy. A single guy wanted to hook up the supermodels down at the chalet. Look at me and my sexy mobile phone. It only weighs 12 pounds. Look at me, I'm a big mover and shaker in Seattle. Yeah, you go up there, you do that shit, you show them your fucking ski gear. But the truth is, you just got knocked end over end. You're unconscious. You're in the snow. You're in 2 feet of snow, and you are technically slowly dying. You're technically slowly dying. That's what happens to you. If you don't get out of the snow, your body will continue to lose body temperature. And you will be dead soon, and that is inevitable. And folks, I like the stranded skier analogy way better than the boiled frog. Because the boiled frog is interesting, but nobody ever talks about the dead frog. Nobody ever does. It's always about the slowly being boiled. You know what? It's the same fucking destination. And what if on the outside of the boiled frog, there are other fucking boiling pots of water, you stupid fuck? So it's not a great analogy because you can go from one bad situation to the next. Just because you know, I knew how to jump out of this fucking boiling water, doesn't mean you don't end up in a bigger pot someplace else. So you are Mr. Fancy Pants. It's 1986. It's December 1986, and you're Mr. Fancy Pants, and you are unconscious in the snow. You are slowly dying. Stevens Pass. And if nothing is done, you'll be dead in 2 hours, probably less. But what is guaranteed is in the next hour, your arms and your legs, your toes and your fingers will basically be dead. Yes, you've got your ski boots on, blah, blah, blah. That's irrelevant. You are in the snow. That stuff will only help you for about maybe an hour, okay, then you will slowly die. And you will lose your appendages first. And your body is smart in a way. Your body will pull resources for the brain, resources for the core. Gotta digest that fucking gumbus in your stomach. There's some energy there. Your body will conserve resources towards your core and your brain. It will. And it will say to hell with the arms and the legs and the fingers and the toes. Those are gone. Now, you in your head right now, unconscious Bob McGee, freezing to death slowly up in fucking, you know, Stevens Pass, you imagine in your head you're at the chalet telling these beautiful women about your fucking adventure, telling them you got cocaine back in 86. That'd be a big thing to do. You could also tell them, oh, I've got this new thing called a CD player. Holy fuck. Have you ever heard of a CD player titty model? So you are there, you are dying slowly, but in your head you think you're at the chalet drinking martinis with the titty models. This is the US economy in 2019. Okay? It's why you can drive across this country and you will go through areas of it that look like there was an atomic war. Okay? There are parts of this country that are turning to fucking ash. There are parts of this country so depressing that people are simply shooting up and hoping to die. And I know a lot of you out there think, oh, the drugs are the problem. The drugs and the alcohol and the cigarettes and the carbohydrates and the high fructose corn syrup. Folks, these things are fucking symptoms. Okay, I have no doubt that people shouldn't be doing these things. But they are technically symptoms. They are not the problem. If you believe you can just ship homeless people to a magical island someplace in the Puget Sound, and believe me, I heard that Nazi conversation over the holidays. Can't we just put people on a fucking island? Can't we just ship people to a fucking island? You know? Didn't you see that documentary, Seattle is dying? I mean, lying? I mean, Seattle is full of shit? Folks, here's the deal. Last year, when I was waiting for food in the food line, or I should say earlier this year, when I was in the food line, 98%, I would guess, of everyone in that line was probably an illegal alien from China. Oh shit, did I fuck up your little Seattle is dying narrative? There were homeless people who were angry. These were like mostly African Americans who were angry with the fact that there were Chinese who would put little rocks in a line, like 50 of them, along with bags, claiming spots for the fucking food line. Okay, you need to listen to this, folks, because this is not me just hating on Chinese people. This is an actual thing. Any Tuesday afternoon, any Thursday afternoon, Little Saigon, go to the Seattle Indian Center. If you don't trust me, do your own fucking analysis. Now, does that mean I think they should starve? No. But before you sell me on some kind of happy bullshit, you need to know something. There are parts of this country that are doing well right now. And there are parts of this country that are doing terribly, terribly shitty. And the fact is, the numbers don't even equal, which means that technically the body is dying. That's the truth. We are a stranded skier. We think we're having martinis in the fucking chalet. We're really just slowly, you know, dying. And again, it fits into the whole general delusion we have. Remember what I said about Blimbo and Flimbo back in the caves 30,000 years ago? Hey, Blimbo, look at my little drawing. Sure, I just murdered a whole family of fucking buffalo by scaring them over a fucking cliff, but I just memorialized them on my fucking dream wall. I'm a nice little fucking Homo sapien. What happened to Uncle Neanderthal? Oh, Let's not talk about that no more. Yeah. What happened to the Neanderthal? Two possibilities. These are the only choices. Rape and death. That's it. You want to have magical West Side Story? Oh, I was a Homo sapien walking by the river one day, and there was this beautiful Neanderthal woman, and we fell in love. No, that's not what happened. Best case scenario, it looks like Sean Connery in Zardoz. And I'll leave you to research that image on your own. If you have West Side Story, Romeo and Juliet views of what happened to the Neanderthal because you found Neanderthal DNA inside of you because of 23andMe, if you're imagining some Shakespearean love story, holy fuck, again I say, you are definitely one of the clever and yet delusional little monkeys, just like the rest of us. We're so clever, and we're clever to a fault. We're so fucking clever, we confuse ourselves, hence delusion. But isn't that nice? Delusion is a nice little filter we put up so we don't have to see the world for what it is. I think there are people out there who listen to me and wonder if I give a shit about people, and I do. I just, sometimes, and I think it's true of everybody. I think it's true of you guys too. If you're honest, if you're true and honest, there are times when you just want to just scream at the world. There are times when you think to yourself, why is this bullshit, you know, set upon us? Why are we in this maelstrom of ignorance and madness? Why are we in the midst of so many beasts and so many demons and so many forces that seem bent on destroying us? And what I will tell you is this: a lot of that's probably in your head, just like with me, and you've got to battle those demons your own way. Listen, I don't have a magic bullet, hence the drinking and the weed and the Pink Floyd. I can say this, a lot of people out there in my demographic, male, middle-aged, white, burnt out, straight, probably not giving a shit about Democrats or Republicans, a lot of us feel like we're lost in this bullshit, that we're alone. That's the truth. I've got a question for all of you out there who are listening to me right now. If you're 50 years old and don't ever expect to have sex again except in your head, and I know, Jesus still considers that adultery, please do not judge me today. But if you're 50 years old and you don't really have visitors or girlfriends or even people who, you know, well, a few people care, why would you clean your toilet? I'm not saying don't clean it before you leave the apartment. I haven't been anywhere for more than 2 or 3 or 4 years at a time since I was 18. Yeah, I'm a traveling man. But, you know, 2 or 3 years, that's not so bad. And whatever poisonous gumbus they sell at the grocery store, You can pour that into the pothole and use it to dissolve away the creatures that are growing on the side of your fucking stink pot. I had a friend visit last summer, and I showed him my bathroom, and I think it horrified him. Or maybe I cleaned it for him and I didn't clean it for my niece and nephew. That may have been it. Actually, I think it was I didn't clean it for him. And it was terrible. And the thing is, I told him it would be terrible. I told him it would be terrible. And it was terrible. I would say that the state of my toilet is currently Lovecraftian. If you're an H.P. Lovecraft fan, yeah, it's the early afternoon here in Seattle on December the 8th. On December the 8th, Sunday, December the 8th, 2019. And we're just chilling out, thinking about stuff. We're just imagineering the science of the future. I think I need to go see Dr. Grunkus again. I think I've got problems in my sclumptic zone. I think I have various remulating disorders of the splenic. There are parasites living inside of my toes. I treated my feet with the chemical mixture Grunkus recommended. It seared away layers of skin, but left the parasites intact. They laughed at me. Fucking parasites laughed at me, people. I don't know. I think that when you get to a certain age, you should expect parasites. You should expect various types of creatures to take hold of your inside space. There are things you're not meant to see. I don't want to see the inside of my colon. I have a Chevron diet. That's not a fancy name. That means the Chevron gas station. That's where I go to get my canned food. That's where I go to get my chili and my Nally's tamales. That's where I go to get my high MSG, high fructose capability stuff. I go to the fucking Chevron. If you look inside of my spundick, you're gonna see things that don't look no good. They won't look no good, people. It'll look like a set of Planet of the Apes. Under microscopic vision, it'll look like Planet of the Apes inside my colon. Do you really want to see something so monstrous? Maybe a better comparison would be that Outer Limits episode, you know, Dundee's planet. The scientist creates a version of a planet, but on a small scale with time sped up. And then some weird-ass ghost thingy just climbs out of that planet's asshole. I don't think you want to see the stuff growing inside of me. But it's Sunday afternoon and my insides feel wonderful. I'll probably eat a couple onions today. I gotta say, you should be thankful for the things you have. I have food, water, electricity. The air is kind of okay, but it's Seattle. What do you expect? I have entertainment. I have books. I have the internet. Yeah, if my computer crapped out, I'd probably have to figure out a way to get another one, but I could scrounge one. I have a lot of things to be thankful for. I have family that gives a shit about me. I mean, there's one or two. One or two family members still care if I'm alive or dead. That's a good thing. Having family give a shit. I have a couple of friends. I have a couple new friends. Shout out to St. Louis. You know who you are. Shout out to Alabama. Shout out to Florida. Shout out to Arizona and Nevada. Shout out to England, jolly old England. There's a guy listening to me in jolly old fucking England. It's weird. I got weird people listening to me all around the world now. Probably even in China, maybe. Though I suppose I'm not a real big, probably, fan to the Chinese crowd because they might misinterpret my general anti-H1B visa stance. But it's really quite simple. If our public schools are so awesome, why is there a STEM crisis? And if there is no STEM crisis, why do we need all these H-1Bs? The simple answer is, it's designed to control people. You know, it's funny. A programmer or engineer from China is a lot less likely to question anything at work. Like, let's say you worked for a company that makes jet airplanes. Let's say you worked for a Pacific Northwest-founded company that makes really fancy passenger jet airplanes. And let's say you're an H-1B visa worker from India or China, we'll call you Chang. And let's say you figured out that some of the software, some of the real-time software and engineering that goes into some of these systems that protect the airplane from crashing was faulty. It might even trigger an accidental crash. Do you A, say, Mr. Boss Man, we got a problem here. Good news is, we're still in prototype. We can fix this. Or do you go B? B is where you say, maybe I'll keep this to myself. And Mr. Boss Man doesn't need to know. And the honest truth is this, folks. It's not about whether you're Chinese or Indian or Danish or German or a fucking Irishman in Little Saigon. It's about whether you have stakes in the game. And the fact is, the people who are coming to take these jobs, they have no stake in the game. They are people you can manipulate. There are people you can order around. There are people who simply say yes all the fucking time. Yes, 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 even when they mean no, no, no. They say yes all the time, even when they mean no. Guess what? That results in planes crashing. In engineering scientific terms, ambiguity is a killer. Okay, people keeping their mouths shut about problems is a killer. It's not complicated mathematics, folks. If you have people that are more likely to keep their mouths shut, if there's a problem with something in an airplane, for example, they're going to keep their mouths shut if they're basically on an H-1B visa. And research it yourself. Okay, anyways, I beat up on foreigners enough. Gotta beat up on the foreigners. They're doing it to us, right? I'll tell you one thing. One of the things I wondered about in line at the food line last winter, how long would I survive in China if I were there the way that a lot of people are here in Little Saigon? Would I survive a day, a week, or about maybe 30 seconds? I find it highly unlikely that there would be anybody giving a shit if I live or died. Now, is this me saying America is so great and China sucks? No. I'm simply pointing out the fact that there is zero reciprocity here, folks. If you actually think you'll be treated with any respect, if you were to go to China the way that you'd be treated here if a Chinese person were here, you are so fucking confused. Okay? As shitty as America is, as tyrannical as America is, as ridiculous and broken as our system is, it's actually worse in other places, believe it or not. And in terms of your ability to feed your family, it's way, way, way worse. Okay? I know there are a lot of fucking people, no, Hong Kong and Singapore and listen, folks, if you want to go get brown lung in Beijing, go fucking ahead. I don't need it. I'm getting brown lung in Seattle. Do I really need to go to Beijing to get the double dose? No. Anyways, but I gotta stop beating up. And also, this doesn't mean I want war with China, folks. I would just assume, don't tax it, don't subsidize it, don't have anything to do with it. If you think it's a bad idea, don't trade with it. You know what? We did almost no trade with the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Almost none, other than some agricultural products and a few things here and there. Guess what? We never went to war. Anybody tells you that trade equals peace is an idiot. I'm not saying trade guarantees war, but guess what? Nations that don't trade with each other rarely go to war with each other because there is no point of conflict, you stupid fuck. You know what? Trade creates points of conflict. Oh, fuck. Dan, who were the number one trading partners in Western Europe in 1914? That would be Great Britain and Germany. Oh, fuck. Are you saying that the number one trading partners in Europe in 1914, Great Britain and Germany, were also the ones who basically went to war with each other a couple months, you know, later? Yeah. Hate to break it to you, that's how the fucking cookie crumbles, folks. If you don't trade with people, you generally don't go to war with them. That is the actual truth. Okay? It's when you have economic conflict that you have military conflict. And sometimes it's just colonialization. Sometimes it's just a bunch of white people landing on your fucking island in the Pacific Ocean and saying, look at my magical repeating rifle, you crazy, crazy coconut people. This land is now my land. Okay, guess what? That's kind of what happened to Hawaii. Okay, sometimes it's like that. So, yeah, is there a conflict? Only in the sense that there's a conflict between a man and an ant. And I'm not defending it. That shit was brutal bullshit. That's what happened during Manifest Destiny in the 19th century across the continent of North America. That was the pattern. I have the magical rifle. You've got nothing. I win. Anyways, fact is, I don't want war with China. A war with China would be probably, best case, a human calamity on par with nothing to compare, except for maybe World War II, because, best case scenario, a lot of Chinese people are going to die. They live in very, very dense urban environments. Folks, you don't have to explode that many nukes to kill that many Chinese. A few nukes goes a long way because of population density. So, yeah, even in a limited nuclear war, hundreds of millions of Chinese people will die, and probably tens of millions of Americans. Probably many of us, too. And that's if it's limited. That's if it stops after a couple days. That's if we throw a couple bombs around and, like panic in the year zero, we realize, holy fuck, this nuclear war bullshit's probably bullshit. Fuck you, Edward Teller. Fuck you, Brookings Institution. Fucking RAND Corporation. We could win a nuclear war if we were just smart enough about it. You know what, folks? I keep thinking about Flimbo and Blimbo, talking about their cave paintings and how much they honored the elk and the antelope that day after killing several elk and several antelope. And listen, folks, you want your delusional bullshit? You want to pretend that your little shack in the back of your house is worth $500,000, but you have no fucking clue where the homeless people are coming from? If you want to be like Flimbo and Bimbo, feel free. But I suggest open your fucking eyes, okay? No, I don't want war with China, but I can tell you this much: China is probably going to go through a period of chaos. It is probably inevitable, and us pushing it along will not help. It can only hurt. Like in every situation we've been involved in, all we do is fuck things up. My best advice to any administration is stop meddling in China. China, for economic reasons, will have to deal with the simple fact, and it has nothing to do with Donald Trump, but I think some of you are too fucking stupid to hear me. The American consumer is broke. It does not matter whether there are tariffs or not, the American consumer is dead ass broke. And the people at the top, they don't tend to buy shit at Walmart. Did you fucking know that? Holy fuck, am I fucking giving you a lesson here? We don't need tariffs for the Chinese economy to crash. All you need is for the US economy to crash, and China's going to crash. If you actually believe the Chinese government has created a miracle system and its Belt and Road and its own SWIFT system and it can do its own credit transactions. Listen, some of this is true, but I gotta tell you, it is a corrupt commie regime. If it weren't for 40 years of the United States literally feeding that crocodile, we were a crocodile, a weird monster crocodile feeding a baby crocodile called Communist China. Did you know at one point back in the 60s or 70s, the Chinese economy, mainland China, their economy was still smaller than Taiwan's? In fact, I think that remained true in the 80s up to a point. And then they blew past that one. We kept feeding that crocodile. God knows why. Maybe it's because of the Rockefellers. Maybe it's because of the banks. Maybe it's because of some shadowy cabal. But the fact is, when Nixon opened China, we took a giant pail of economic productivity and we poured it down the throat of China. The problem is that I think there are people in China who are led to believe that the communism and the tyranny and all the regimented bullshit and the stealing people's organs and bullshit, that was somehow connected to their success. And I think the tyrants, they remember the Cultural Revolution. And folks, it's not like the years before it were that great. It's not like the Great Leap Forward was anything to write home about. 60 million people died during that in China. Fact is, every fucking year since Mao Zedong took charge, whether it was the Korean War, the Great Leap Forward, or the fucking Cultural Revolution, almost every year the communists were in charge, 1949 to probably 1979. Holy shit, that sounds like 30 years. For those 30 years, those were a bloody, bloody, bloody 30 years. Lots of Chinese people killed, lots dead. And yet, for whatever reason, people believe this is what the people in China want. Actually, I think this is what academics in America believe. We don't really know what they want. I suggest let them determine their own fucking destiny. But about the stupidest fucking thing we could do at this point would be to add gasoline to a fire. And this is exactly what the Trump administration is doing. It's so fucking stupid. It is about the dumbest fucking move you can make. And I'm sorry, folks, guess what? If Hillary Clinton were in charge, you would probably see the same exact game being played, but against Russia. Mainly Russia. But the truth is, Trump's still playing the game against Russia, too. This is not about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, okay? This is about the people that run this country. This is basically about the war party, about the pirate ship, okay? When Trump said we're keeping the oil, do you really think Obama would have said anything different? Listen to my fucking voice. Obama bragged year after year about something called the shale miracle. He bragged and bragged and bragged. And oh, by the way, if climate change is a thing, he kind of should have known by then. And he would brag. Oh my God, I created the shale miracle. Look at all the shale oil. It's a fucking miracle. Except for it's a giant debt hole. It is one of the most destructive industrial activities in the last 100 years to the groundwater, to the air, to everything. It is poisonous, it is toxic, and it does not make a profit. So if you think this is about Donald Trump, folks, think again. Wake the fuck up. It's about the war party. It's kind of why in Seattle, the number one way to piss people off, like, for example, you could be sitting at dinner and you be talking about pollution. If you bring up the number one institutional polluter on planet Earth, the number one, U.S. Department of Defense, number one, holy fuck, should we start at the fucking Marshall Islands in the magical concrete dome? And if you explain this to people, say, oh, what do you mean? You're saying the U.S. brave soldiers are the number one polluters? Yes, technically speaking, they are. And these wars, even if there was a reason for them, they are a toxic atrocity. There's going to be enough depleted uranium, dustified uranium, blowing around the Persian Gulf for the next 100 years to give lots of little kids cancer. Seattle's about the war party. 100% totally. And the thing is, that's what it is. You live on a pirate ship. You die like a pirate. You know what, folks? I wouldn't be so pissed off if so many of these delusional fucks weren't like Flimbo and Blimbo. They think they can watch a Disney movie about magical bullshit and not realize that that Disney movie is in part brought to you by a family that was set on fire yesterday. And you will never have to see them on the fucking big screen. Flimbo and Blimbo. Listen, you want to be a cave person and pretend that the antelope spirits wanted you to kill them? That's up to you. What I am telling you right now is human beings are killers. We need to accept that. We don't have to go around and kill willy-nilly. We do have the ability to control ourselves. And I'm a Christian, so we also have a fucking soul. But yes, we're killers. And if you don't understand that, you're deeply fucking confused. And the sooner we accept these things about ourselves, the better for everybody. No, I don't want war with China, folks. But I fear the current storyline is, yeah, some type of a war. And bigger than Iraq. Probably, it could even start with Iran. Who knows? You know, a lot of these folks, they're so into Nostradamus, and they kind of think that there's going to be some weird-ass character to rise out of Iran. And this character is going to be the Magi Grotti, or the Mahdi, or the 14th century whale worshiper. The Grand Mahdi. I don't know, folks. I don't know Shia religion. And guess what? I don't give a shit. Oh, I'm sorry. If I insulted you because you're Shia, I'm a Christian and I don't give a Shia. I don't give a Shia. Anyways, I feel like for a stream of consciousness anger journey, good name for the podcast. I feel like for a stream of consciousness anger journey, this went okay. If you agree and you enjoy my podcast, A, and B, you have money, which means you have extra cash, you've already taken care of your family, your friends, your pets, your dogs, your animals, creatures, whatever, you've got food set aside, and you've taken care of everything, and you have what you need, and you feel like you want to donate, there's going to be a link in this podcast to this weird anger journey, stream of consciousness and whatnot, to Venmo. And if you say, well, Dan, I can't do Venmo, then propose an alternative. I have an email address, a link to my email address on my SoundCloud homepage. You just click on that email, you send me an email, say, Dan, I'd love to give you money, but I want to give you Bitcoin. Okay, I'll set up a wallet on local Bitcoin, you fuck. But nobody's offering me Bitcoin, fuck. So I don't have one right now. But I'll take gold and silver. I'll take cash. I'll take small furry animals in trade. I will take any of the ancient substances of the ancient queens and kings. If you prepared a residue of an elixir that will give me great sexual strength, I'll take that too. I'll take cocaine, hookers, I will not take your frequent flyer miles, you son of a bitch. I'll take a French bulldog, but I'll sell it to Mr. Chong. Was that racist? I don't know. So please donate if you have cash, or donate other kinds of things. I don't currently need the money to get by, but theoretically in 4 to 5 months, I'm going to be in a bad place if I don't, you know, take another contract working for Willy Wonka's, aka Microsoft or some other Willy Wonka. And it's fine. We all got to dig ditches. I'm just telling you, if I can make money doing this, I would. I won't lie to you. I won't lie. But if all you want to do is spread the word, you can spread the word to and fro, to all your friends here and in Mexico. Just spread the word, baby. Spread it to all the cocaine warlords. Tell them I'm the latest thing since cocaine. I'm a great holiday treat like cocaine. And like cocaine, I never let you down.